a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for this announcement. I'm Kelsey Pritchard with the Governor's Office, and today with Governor Dugard is House Majority Leader Brian Gosch and Senate Majority Leader Tim Rave. Just a reminder to those of you on the phone to please mute your phones by pressing *6, and during the Q&A, you can unmute by pressing #6. And for those in the room, please make sure to turn on the mics during the Q&A portion. And with that, I'll turn it over to Governor Dennis Dugard.
Thank you, Kelsey, and thank you all for joining us, either present or online, for this news conference. Today we want to join with the House and Senate leadership to talk about education. Every year when the legislature meets, of course, education is discussed and debated as much as any topic, perhaps more than any topic. And that's as it should be because, of course, South Dakota spends nearly one half of its general fund budget on education. Now, very often the educational debates focus on funding. And again, this makes sense because funding is the principal way that state government affects schools. Local officials, conversely, decide how many teachers and staff to hire, what to pay them. They decide what kinds of courses and programs to offer. But all those decisions, of course, are made in the context of available funding. Still, this focus on funding can sometimes distract us from the broader discussion. An appropriate broader discussion is what should be our policy goals in the education arena. And I believe we have three goals that are paramount. First, we want quality schools that focus on student achievement. The focus should be on student achievement. Secondly, we want a workforce of great teachers because studies show that the most significant impact on student achievement is the quality of the teachers. And thirdly, we want an efficient, equitable funding system that encourages those first two things. Now, more funding may be the answer to achieving those things, but we have a responsibility to the taxpayers to evaluate that with some deliberation. We need to make sure that we're spending taxpayer dollars wisely and have confidence that our state funding system is indeed encouraging school districts toward those earlier goals. So that's why I'm joining with the legislative leadership in the Senate and the House to create a Blue Ribbon Task Force to study teachers and students. The task force will reevaluate the current funding formula that has been in statute since 1995. It's going to collect and analyze data. It's going to engage with stakeholders who are in the education community and seek input from the public as well. And with those processes under their belt, then I'm asking the task force to produce policy recommendations to be considered by the 2016 legislature. Now, some will say, well, gosh, rather than establish a task force, let's take action right now. Well, that assumes that all the questions have been answered, and I believe there are still too many questions that need to be answered with facts. We need to ask where teacher shortages are occurring, to the degree that they're occurring, and what can be done to address them. We need to also ask why 12 states have less revenue per student and yet are able to pay teachers more than South Dakota. We also need to ask, as we hear concerns about teacher salaries, why many schools' reserve funds are growing. And these questions need answers based on data, not on anecdotes, not on opinion surveys. We need hard data. And that's why I've asked the Department of Education to compile hard data on the teaching workforce and on our educational funding and try to answer some of these questions with data. Representative Gosch, I'll call on you to.
Thank you, Governor.
Your voice.
I appreciate your comments so far, and I just want to add to it by saying I served on a similar work group 3 years ago and I had the opportunity to join the Chief Justice, members of the executive branch, and other legislative leaders on a governor's work group to revise the adult juvenile, not the juvenile, but the adult criminal justice system. It was broad sweeping reform that was very difficult, but the work group was effective because we had engaged over 350 stakeholders throughout the spring, summer, and fall of that year, and then we had members of the industry on the work group itself that worked over a bill to its final completion that eventually found its way into the legislature with broad support passing both chambers. There's a similar work group that took place last year on the juvenile justice reform. That's before the legislature now in Senate Bill 73. It passed the Senate 34-0. And I think one of the biggest reasons for that success in the Senate side was because of this work group format and how all these stakeholders and players came together to ask those difficult questions, sort through all the information, use evidence-based data to come do a draft proposal for the legislature. And I'm hopeful that that similar process, having worked successfully twice so far, would work again in this area. Thank you.
Senator Rabe.
Thanks, Governor. And again, I would just associate myself with all of the previous remarks and thank you specifically, Governor, for spearheading this effort because, you know, South Dakotans want a quality education for all of our students, both as parents and grandparents. And we want to have great teachers for those students. But as good stewards of the taxpayers' money, we also want to make sure that we're spending the dollars appropriately and efficiently, and it's time to relook at the funding formula that's been in place for over 30 years, and it's time to reevaluate, reset. Maybe at the end of the day, we find that that is the best way to do it. I suspect that that may not be the complete answer. I suspect at the end of the task force report, we'll find that there are certainly new and innovative ways to educate the children in this state as we continue to face geographic challenges and fiscal challenges, and find a way forward to make sure that we're able to fund education appropriately and pay our teachers well. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. That concludes the comments I have, and so open it up for any questions.
Yeah, we'll start with questions in the room.
Governor, from a standpoint of when you're looking at this blue rat, who's going to be on it? I mean, what kind of when you talk about stakeholders, when you talk about public, what kind of people are you going to want to put on this?
Well, again, hearkening back to Representative Gosch's comments about the criminal justice initiative work group and the juvenile justice work group, we engage people who are involved in that arena. So in the education arena, of course, that would involve school administrators and elected officials. We'd involve teachers. We'd involve parents. Of course, we want to involve a representation from the executive branch and the legislative branch so that the policy decisions are identified along with those who will be expected to carry them to the broader legislative arena in 2016. So I would say local elected officials, school administrators, school board members, teachers, parents, and representatives of the legislative and executive branch.
If, for chance, this Blue Ribbon Committee comes back and says, we need more money, we need to increase funding for schools in the state budget, would you support that?
I think I'm not going to presume any support or opposition to policy decisions. I think too often we jump to policy decisions, we jump to support or opposition to policy decisions before we look at the facts. And so I'm looking forward to a proposal, a policy recommendations that are born out of this very thorough process that we've seen work very well in the adult criminal reform and in the juvenile justice reform. It engages the people that are involved in the arena. It's based on facts first. We don't leap to policy suggestions or we don't leap to anecdotes. We instead focus first on the facts. We seek support or we seek input from stakeholders, not just those that are on the work group. But as Representative Gosch pointed out, the work group was less than 20 people, but we sought input during the adult reforms process of from over 300 stakeholders. And so we'll be not just having some of these stakeholders on the work group, but we'll also be seeking input from others who are not on the work group.
Are you going to be looking at other states at all, I guess, when you're trying to come up with a plan?
I think it's very likely what we'll do is we will look at ourselves over history, how we have changed, but we'll also compare ourselves to others. That's very typical. That's what we did in the juvenile justice arena and in the adult corrections arena. We may engage an outside third party to help us crunch numbers. In the case of the criminal justice and juvenile justice reform, we had assistance from the Pew Charitable Trust. They came in with some experience in other states. They had access to other states' information. They had access to evidence-based practices. We might go to the Educational Commission for the states. Education is their bailiwick, so maybe that's the appropriate third party that can assist the work group. But I expect that that kind of assistance would be beneficial and will bring in information from other states.
Do you have a lot of groundwork laid from other committees?
And certainly we have a lot of data that we collect. And that's been true in the criminal justice arena as well. We collect a lot of data. You go to the Department of Education's website, and there's all kinds of information about spending, programs, staff numbers, compensation levels, student-to-teacher ratios, all kinds of data. And so what will be important is to try and take that data and distill it into some usable features that will help inform the work group. So they begin their policy deliberations with a good level set of knowledge that everyone shares. Everyone has the same level of knowledge based upon facts and not, again, not on anecdotes or opinion surveys, not what they read in the paper, but what the facts show.
I think if I could, Governor, just to jump off of that, I think...
Unless they heard it on television. Now, if they heard it on television, then certainly, you know, take it to the bank.
I think... That's good, Governor. I think just to jump off on that point, and I think that's probably what makes this panel a little bit more unique and goes back to what the Governor discussed in his opening comments about, oh gosh, well, they're just going to have another panel, they're going to spend all summer talking, and nothing's going to happen. I think the challenge is going to be put out to all parties, and that includes not only legislative folks, but all of those stakeholders to come in with an open mind and look at the data. And whether that's painful or not, everyone be open to discussions and around factual data and make decisions based on, you know what, certainly there are outliers. There's going to be X school here in this location where, you know, that doesn't work. But as state policymakers, it's our job to look at the entire state and the good of the entire state. And sometimes those are painful discussions, but I think that's what's going to make this panel a little bit more unique. So,
how tough is it going to be, you think, then, to get people to leave the baggage at the door, if you will, and all their perceived notions and how they've dealt with that? I mean, how is it going to be to get everybody to leave it at the door?
If I can attempt to answer that, I'd be happy to, because having served on two of these work groups, we went through some of those issues, especially with the adult criminal justice reform system, where there were many obstacles in that path, and there were many discussions, and having been at every work group meeting and some subcommittee meetings, and I started out as a stakeholder myself, being a legislator, where I was approached on the idea, and I later became a member of the work group that worked through that. And we start with goals. What are the goals of the work group? And everything else gets left at the door when you're starting with the goals. And then you start looking at the empirical data, evidence-based practices, and things like that, all toward accomplishing the goals that the governor mentioned at the start of the press conference. So toward reaching those goals and using the data that's presented, that's the package we get. And so it's hard to say where that package is going to end up at this point, because you're just starting with the goals and looking at the data, working toward those goals. And depending on what the ultimate package is, then, of course, would base our support or lack thereof on it.
Do we have any questions on the phone line?
Yes, Kelsey, it's Todd Epp, KSOO. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead, Todd.
I don't mean to be impolite to the governor and the legislators, but why do we send you people to Pierre? I thought you were supposed to go there and solve problems. You've known about these problems for a long time, so why push it off on a commission when we elect you as legislators and our governor to solve these things? I guess I don't understand why we need yet another commission. Why can't you guys solve this?
Well, Todd, I'd ask you, which problem is it that's been known for a long time?
I think the funding for education and the teacher shortage, and I mean,
what facts do you use to document the funding shortage?
Well, Governor, I don't mean to argue with you, but you have a whole education department that follows these things. The legislature meets and has.
No, I'm asking you, not what the education department. What education funding shortfall can you document? Where are your facts? What are you relying on?
What am I relying on? Well.
What clear problem is there that you see?
Well, there are a number of districts, both big and small, and this has been reported. Now, maybe you don't have to trust us, I guess, in the media if you don't want to, but I think it's been pretty clear from districts from Rapid City to some of our smaller districts that they cannot retain and keep teachers. And the biggest thing that they talk about is they are not able to pay them a competitive salary compared to some of the surrounding states. Are you saying that that's not true?
I'm wondering to what degree we've seen that in the past, or if we're producing an adequate number of graduates to fill the shortfall. I'm wondering if early retirement incentives are contributing to the problem. I think there are a lot of things that need to be known before you leap to a policy solution. Don't you agree that we should study the problem and understand it in depth? Should we seek input from stakeholders, or should we just rely on the department alone?
Okay, let me ask this. The legislators, then, we have a 40-some-day legislative session, 39 days. We have two education committees in both chambers. Why couldn't they hold hearings on this thing and do this kind of work during January, February, March?
I'll attempt to tackle that. During those 39 legislative days, the Education Committee meets on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for 2 hours or 2 hours and 15 minutes per Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The work group that I was a part of meets more often than that for a longer period of time and engages more people during that time and gathers more information to come to the best solution to accomplish those goals. Everything else happens so quickly through this short legislative session compared to some of the other states out there. It would not be possible to do what I'm talking about doing, what we're talking about doing in that amount of time. And I can say that based on experience and having served on the previous work groups. The work group gives us much more time over the course of this year to engage all those interested parties and to come up with the best solution possible.
Are there questions from anyone else on the line?
Yeah. Did I hear the senator say that there's a chance lawmakers would reevaluate the PSA formula? I'm by phone here, so I'm just wanted to double check.
Well, yeah, I think maybe a broader statement is I believe everything's on the table. And I think maybe one of the broader questions there is that the current funding formula has been in place. Don't quote me. I want to say it's close to 25 or 30 years. The state has had several changes, both in demographics and in geography. And so it's time, and we've had multiple discussions behind the scenes, I think would be the answer to that. And certainly everything is on the table. And I think maybe just to go back to Todd's point a little bit that, we want to bring stakeholders in. And Representative Gosch hit the nail right on the head. In this short amount of condensed time, you're dealing with all of the normal bills that have to be dealt with during the session. And so stakeholders, if we learned anything in the past, came out loud and clear and said they want a voice at a committee and in a forum that they can vet their ideas and we can have some honest and open dialogue and debate. And I think we heard that loud and clear. And so I think that really is part of the driving force behind having the commission so that stakeholders do, through a methodical process, have the opportunity to openly discuss their issues and concerns, and we can try and come up with some resolutions.
Charles Ray here with Public Radio. If I can just switch gears, I have a quick question on Senate Bill 166 for both lawmakers and...
Charles, we'd like to stick with education for now, and if you want to email me your question, we'll try to get you an answer.
Thanks. It'd be great to have something in audio if possible.
Okay.
Governor Hunter, I think your budget address, you mentioned that people try to create crises to fit a situation or defend themselves.
the question is, will the study help combat any sense that any issue may be manufactured or overemphasized? I think anytime you take data and you look at an issue with a dispassionate understanding of the facts rather than reliance upon emotion or anecdotes or opinions, you're going to end up with a better policy course to follow. I don't object to people making the case as best they can. Certainly the teachers' union, their job is to benefit their members, and more dollars for education will sometimes, in their mind, translate into better teacher pay. It may not, because it really depends on how the dollars that are available are spent. And again, one of the questions I think we need to ask is, how is it that 12 other states have less revenue per student and yet pay better than South Dakota, some in the top half of the nation? And so I think it's worth looking at those things and saying, will additional dollars necessarily result in better student achievement and better teacher pay?
Helps you guys politically? Does this like you take hold of the situation where the Democrats have said this is a crisis in our state, we need to address this,
can't hear the questions.
The question was, does this benefit benefit us politically, because the Democrats have raised this as an issue? Certainly this is raised by Republicans and Democrats alike, the question of school funding. I think there will be an interest on both sides of the aisle in this process. We've seen support from both sides of the aisle in both of the cases that Representative Gosch mentioned. When policy proposals were offered, they have been thus far supported on both sides of the aisle pretty strongly. So I think it is a good process to follow. It engages everyone. It gives everyone input. It also makes facts available to everyone. And so it's a very good process. And again, some will insist that we leap to solutions. And I object to that, because I think that is dependent upon anecdotes. And it also depends upon an understanding by everyone who's affected about the facts. It presumes that. And I don't think you can presume that. I think you need to go through the process so you're assured of that.
I think that's all we have time for. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.